that is that as you get out of your comfort zone, you really start to see people shine. And so what I would always tell my classes when groups would come up to present, I would say, look, I chose to do this for a living, to stand in front of you, to make mistakes, to be laughed at. Your classmates have not. So let's show them some grace. So these people that have done this today have not chosen this to do for their living, but they've stepped out of their comfort zone, just like several other people who have worked behind the scenes today. So thank you to everybody who has participated already, who will participate. You have shown today the light of Christ from our high school all the way up through everybody, from greeting at the door to teaching Sunday school classes. You have been the light of Christ today. So Ellen Bagwell, thank you for our beautiful solo. Melanie Burnett, thank you for reading scripture. And Darla Mills, thank you for reading scripture. So the sermon, if you can call it that today, is therefore go. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. The General Conference of the United Methodist Church, the worldwide conference, is set Laity Sunday for the next 4 years. They set it 4 years at a time because they only meet every 4 years. And so the theme is to go, therefore, to provide hope. And so for the next 4 years, the way they will look at that is hope, hospitality, offering Christ, giving people a purpose, and engaging people in community. So today we look at going, providing hope through hospitality. The United Methodist Book of Discipline, which is the book where all our statements are, all our core beliefs, all the bylaws and stuff that regulate the things that we do. In paragraph 122 of that book, it defines how we make disciples. It says, we make disciples by proclaiming the gospel, seeking, welcoming, and gathering persons into the body of Christ. It says, we lead persons to commit their lives to God through baptism by the water and the Spirit, and by professing their faith in Jesus Christ. We make disciples by nurturing persons in Christian living through worship, the sacraments, spiritual discipline, and other means of grace, such as Christian conferencing, as initiated by John Wesley. We make disciples by sending persons into the world to live lovingly and justly as servants of Christ, by healing the sick, feeding the hungry, caring for the stranger, freeing the oppressed, being and becoming a compassionate, caring presence, and working to develop social structures that are consistent with the gospel, and to continue the mission of seeking, welcoming, and gathering persons into the community of the body of Christ. It's not so much fun to read, but it's a beautiful statement of what we're called to do. So with hospitality, we go into the world in outreach and mission, providing this generosity, this hospitality, this welcome, this offer to gather as a body of Christ. It's an opportunity for people to see and experience Jesus in the way that we all live. Our mission statement here at Emmanuel United Methodist Church says, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. We acknowledge all those things are necessary. The Trinity has to be involved in all that we do. But we also acknowledge that before we can go make anything, we have to become that first. So today we've got some people that are going to share some of the ministries that help do this at our church. So I'm going off script, and they're going to be mad because they're anxious to get their turn over with. But I'm thinking about Brother Ron Solo this morning. And as he sang that song, I thought about the people I need to say thank you to. Not because they did anything for me, but they lived their life as a disciple, and that allowed me to accept Christ. So I want to challenge you in your heart, in your thoughts right now. Who helped lead you to Christ? Maybe not by an invitation. Maybe not by a sermon or a song. But in the way that they loved you, in the prevenient grace of God, somebody loved you, a Sunday school teacher, a parent, a grandparent. Somebody loved you enough that you knew you wanted what they had, and what they had was Christ. I want to say some names, but I won't be able to get through it. I'm what you call a cradle Methodist. It means the minute they put me in the cradle, I was a United Methodist. And I was blessed to grow up in a church very similar to this, a small church in a small mill community where people loved each other. And I was the worst kid in our youth group, worst kid in our children's group. I did things I should have never have done. I drove my teachers crazy. But they loved me. Some of them are already in glory, and some of them are still a part of my life today. But I need to say thank you to the people who showed me love and grace before I knew what love and grace was. But church, here's the real call on our lives. Is when we get to heaven, we ought to desire for somebody to come up and say thank you to us. Not because we deserve it, but because we help them see Christ. I'm about to preach, so I'm going to stop. You want the mic now? So we got, can y'all come on up? Darla Mills is going to talk about some of our outreach stuff that we do. Susan Sneed is going to explain some of the ways that we make and become disciples through worship. The United Methodist women will be discussed by our president, Kathy Sizemore. And then the youth group will be discussed by Anna Reese.
Morning, everybody. As Andrew was talking about that, I was listening to Ron as well, getting teary-eyed, and then Andrew starts getting teary-eyed, and I'm getting teary-eyed myself, so I'll keep it together. But some of the things that we do, and I do want to touch on what Ron sang. That's a beautiful song, and I'm going to lose it thinking about it as well. But you don't know the things that you do here that are going to touch kids. I can remember when we were young, we had Edgar Dixon and his dad that would give us quarters, and I can still remember that. Every single Sunday, he'd come up with a 50-cent piece or a quarter and give us them when we were kids, and I can still remember that. And I know he's singing praises now in heaven. But you don't know what you're going to do. It may just be something simple like, you know, handing a 50-cent piece to every kid that walks in the door, but something simple like us getting that playground installed is going to be important to kids down the road, and they're going to think about that. They're going to, you know, remember you bringing them to Sunday school. They're going to remember those Sunday school lessons and things, and it may not see it. Sometimes, you know, we just do things and we just kind of do them out of habit, but we won't know until we get to heaven, you know, when we are given those crowns to place at Jesus' feet, what all we've done. So keep that in the back of your heads as we are reminded that we are the hands and feet of Christ. I mean, that's why we're here. We're not here for our pleasure. So we do some things, you know, oh, it's going to be such a drudgery. Oh, I got to get up early again. But, you know, we're not here for the thank yous. We're here to give God the glory. So some of those things that we do try to do here at Emmanuel and for our community, and I'm just going to touch on a few. I was given 3 minutes, and I think I've already eaten up a minute and a half of it. So just a few of those things. We have a Christmas float every year. This past year, we had a humongous, giant birthday cake that sat on the back of a pickup truck, and it was going up the road. And we sang Happy Birthday, Jesus, here in Welford. We drove that truck thing all the way up to Reedville and sang it up there, and it was great. And people sang it going up the road, and they thought it was great. And that's just a simple thing. We gave out hundreds of cards and candies with our information, you know, inviting people to church. We do that also at Halloween. We have our trunk or treat, and we have tons of kids that come in from the community, and we open our doors and welcome them in, and, you know, and we love on them, and we play games, and, you know, we don't charge them anything for anything. We feed them meals. And we have a really great time. We have our Easter World's largest Easter egg hunt is what we call it. I don't even know how many eggs we're up to, pushing 600 eggs that we get out there and throw out there for all the kids, and it's a great time. And again, we open the doors for the community. We feed them and love on again, free lunch. We don't charge anything for that. We also support Tracy Jackson program of gift. We used to do Milo pennies. Now the children collect so much money, the children are actually giving that money to the Tracy Jackson program of gift. And that's a program that feeds kids during the summertime. These low-income children in Abbeville County is where they are, but as they go through school and they get the free lunches and stuff, come summertime, they don't generally eat very much during the summertime. So this program actually feeds those kids lunches during the summertime. So we give to them. Our forward focus, that is something that we started here pretty recently. And some of the things that we are focusing on as a church is reaching out to our neighboring community, Welford Elementary School being part of that. Here, past couple weeks, we ended up giving a bunch of food to kids that go on their backpacks, and it's the same type of situation. They'll get the reduced lunches during the week, but come the weekend, they may not eat at all until Monday comes. So that food is sent home with them on the weekends, and that's money, that's food that we have provided for these kids. So this is another program that we're gonna really start focusing on. Vacation Bible School. Salcahatchie, we fed 125 workers this past summer at Salcahatchie with sandwiches and cookies and fruit and chips. I don't know how many people we had down here getting those lunches ready, but it's always fun. And the funny thing is, when we get all together and we start working, there's not arguments or who's going to what. It's really a great time. Same thing with putting in that playground. You know, everybody, it was an all-day process, but it was really a great time. We had people that didn't even have to be here that were here just because it was a great time. We had a recent Youth Day event that has led to a couple of youth meetings that we're having now, and we're very excited about that as well. We give for every member that joins our church. We buy and engrave a Bible especially for them from Emmanuel United Methodist Church. For every single baptism, we do the same thing. And then that's a gift to them from us, welcoming them you know, into Christ's family. Really trying to speed along here. Super Bowl of Caring, every February we do that. We collect money and canned goods, and that's a grassroots project that was started, I believe, in Columbia, and it's literally gone into the millions of dollars that they are giving to the needy. That's part of we've done that for many, many years. I hope that just even a few of these things that I've showed you have given you a glimpse of the things that we are doing. Again, trying to be the hands and feet of Christ and working with missions and outreach. And I hope you'll be excited and want to be part of what we're doing by sharing God's love in our church and in our community. And just to wrap this up, we do have another thing that we're starting this November. November 19th is the Samaritan's Purse, the Operation Christmas Child, and we've done this for I don't know how many years. This is actually will fold into a shoebox. So these are provided out in the narthex, and what they do is they fill these with, you know, just little items, the small items. There's actually instructions here. Also in the narthex, it will tell you what you cannot include in the box. And these are shipped all over the world. They're shipped here in the United States and in all the countries all over the world. And that's just showing God's love. And they put a little pamphlet in there talking about that, just sharing God's love. And that's being a disciple of Christ. So if you can help with that, we would appreciate that. Everything is provided for you except for what you're going to put inside. We have a goal of collecting 75 this year. So if you can help with that, everything is provided. The boxes are in the back. Instructions are in the back. We have the labels to put on it. And the kids are paying the postage. So it's a win-win all the way around for the kids. So. I also want to, if you look in your bulletin on the inside, and this is our mission statement, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. So I hope that you would like to be part of the missions that we're doing for our church and our community to fulfill that mission statement. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm here to speak a little about our worship committee. And before I start, I feel like I need to give a shout out to the ladies that serve with me on the worship committee, Angie Trammell, Paulette Harrington, Autumn Hudson, and Stacy Sizemore, because they work hard and they're awesome. And as a worship committee, we pray about how we can improve our worship settings to create a warm, inviting, and hospitable place for our members, our regular attendees, and our guests to worship and encounter our Lord and Savior. And these things include, we hold training classes and take care of our acolytes, the special services, which include Ash Wednesday, our Holy Week activities, Advent, and our candlelight service on December 23rd. Our monthly communion to experience the power of the sacrament and what it means for our lives as disciples. Baptism, as we celebrate the incorporation of new people into the family of God. New member Bibles, as we honor and affirm their commitment to Christ and Emmanuel United Methodist Church. Continuing to improve our welcoming area and worship as we reach out to a variety of age ranges and preferences in our congregation.
Good morning. I think you know the mission statement of our church by now, but that was what I was going to start with, because Andrew tells me that often, that there's no need to meet unless we're going to accomplish this. I'm going to talk to you first about United Methodist Women. It actually is, just like our church, it's a global church. It's a global mission group of women. There's approximately 1 million members, and our mission is to foster spiritual growth, develop leaders, and be an advocate for justice. It's a community of women whose purpose is to know God and experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ, to develop a creative, supportive fellowship, and to expand concepts of missions through participation in global ministries of the world. And most of our work is done for missions, and a lot of people are like, well, why are you doing missions outside of the church? Why don't you do missions inside of your church and in your community? And we found a way to weave both of those together. We do have funds. There are approved South Carolina missions that are approved for funds to go to. So at the end of the year, we try to end our year with a very small balance, and we can send our money to Bethlehem Center in Spartanburg or Bethlehem Center in Columbia. There's also Killingsworth Home, and there's Wallace Family Center that's also located in Columbia. And I apologize, there's one more, and I don't remember what it is, and I couldn't find it on my trusty phone here. But we also have a fund that we use throughout our church and our community. In February, I'm going to go from the top of the calendar year, so I maybe won't forget anything. In February, we have a Valentine's dinner that all of the church is invited to, and we have a good meal and some fun games and excitement there. Let's see, in June, we have a yard sale. We're going to have another yard sale, and I'll talk about that in just a minute next week. I guess that's what's next coming up, is that yard sale. Please come. We have a ton of stuff. There are some really good things out there. You might even find something for somebody for Christmas. I mean, really, there's some nice things that people have brought to us. If you'd like to come help, you say, okay, I need to become a helper, please come Thursday night or Friday night. We will be here setting things up. If you come early at 7 o'clock, there will be biscuits with gravy and sausage by Miss Darlene Hawkins, and you do not want to miss those biscuits, I promise you. So those are ways that we're trying to reach out to our community so that we can make disciples for transformation of the world. You never know who might come by and really need something at that yard sale that you wanted to get rid of. But it also provides that fellowship among our committee, fellowship for our church. At Christmas, we have a Christmas dinner for the whole church. We enjoy traditional Christmas dinner, turkey, ham, dressing, and all the trimmings, and usually have a little silly gift game that we like to play along the way as well. This year, we've incorporated some dinners out, mainly breakfast. We've had on Saturdays. We're not opposed to dinner, but we've mainly done breakfast. We've also incorporated some random acts of kindness. We've visited some laundromats and handed out rolls of quarters. That might not sound like a lot to you, but you should have seen the people who got those quarters. They were so thankful. One lady said, oh, I just broke my last $20 bill. I said, well, here's you some quarters. It's not a $20 bill, but it'll pay back what you just took out of your $20 bill. We left coins in all the candy machines and all the drink machines for the kids. I put quarters in all the laundry, the detergent machines, so that in case somebody needed it. We'd also took flowers with us one morning to breakfast, and as we left, we presented each woman there with a flower, and it was just a flower, and it was just going to die, but it brought a smile to every single one of those women's face. And the last act of kindness that we did was we got together, some of us here at church, and we baked banana bread. And I was not here that Saturday to help, but they visited local fire departments and police departments and presented them with a thank you gift of banana bread for what they do for our community. We are open, and everyone is welcome to come. I don't know about the men. I know Andrew is a member, but all you ladies, just come and see what's going on. I think you'll be touched. I did not get this to the minister tonight at 6 o'clock. If any of you ladies can meet, we're going to talk about the yard sale and things we need to do for that. If it's too noisy downstairs, y'all can meet outstairs or upstairs, but the youth will be meeting downstairs as well. So that's pretty much all of Methodist Women. Do you want me to talk about children? I wanted to talk about children, but he won't let me. But Ron, thank you for singing that song, because some Sunday school teacher prayed, a little child said thank you to the Lord.
I'm talking about our youth ministry, and when Andrew asked me to say a little blurb, is what he called it, I thought, yeah, that'll be easy. And then I thought about it, and I said, well, gosh, it's still so new. Like, we've just recently started having events, and I wasn't really sure what to say that we are doing to become and make disciples. And then I thought, I'm just making it too hard, because it is simple, because it's just about love. And one of my favorite bands is the Zac Brown Band, which is labeled as country music. But they have a line in one of their songs, and it says, God is love one another. And we always hear God is love, but they said God is love one another. And I was like, I mean, that's what it is. That's what all the ministries we have are doing. And, you know, when we got together and said, you know, what are we going to do about a youth group? What are we going to do for these middle school and high school age kids in our church, even though it's a small amount? It would have been really easy to say, we don't have enough. Let's just don't worry about it. But we didn't. And we did it as a group effort, as a church group effort. It's a true testament to it takes a village, because we had a group of people, and we called ourselves the youth committee. And then we asked you to pray for us and pray for those children, and y'all did. And we asked for donations for events, and y'all did that. And we asked for donations of food, and y'all did that. So it's been a group effort. If you're not on the committee or haven't come to one of the events, it doesn't matter, because it's a group effort. And in doing what we've been doing in our meetings and getting together to talk about what we're going to do next, it's been, as Coach Moss said a few weeks ago, if you were here, he talked about it a little bit, and he said that in what we're doing and trying to love on these children, we are furthering our walk with Christ and in our faith, and in our efforts to make disciples of them, we're becoming better disciples. And it's really important. And yesterday I had a previous thing I'd been planning with my sisters, and I wasn't here in the morning for everything that was going on, but I came by to bring my husband some shorts and a few other things, and I was shocked and floored at the number of cars in the parking lot, the number of people that were here, men, women, kids, helping update the church or the workday and working on the playground. And we had youth here. We had youth here represented with the church, working very hard to put up the playground. And I thought, you know, we're succeeding in small ways in what we're trying to do. And I really believe it's as simple as that. And all the ministries, but specifically what we as the youth committee and everyone here is trying to do is we're just trying to be God is love one another for our kids. And if we want to live by becoming and making disciples for the transformation of the world, I think it begins with our kids and our middle school and our high school kids, because they can make a huge difference in this world. So thank you. That's all I have to say.
I have a cousin who lives, he now lives in the Florida Keys on Marathon, but he was born and raised right outside of Tampa. I met him for the first time as a teammate in college, as a locker right beside me. Long story short, he said, hey, we're cousins, and I almost punched him in the face because I didn't like him. I thought he was obnoxious, and I thought he was making up something. Then I found out he was my cousin. My dad was like, hey, you got a cousin down there, and there's some guys being really mean to him. And I was like, that's me. And then I was like, hey, man, we're cousins. And we've been very good friends ever since. But here's what I want to tell you. He had never been to Spartanburg, but he had heard of the Beacon. So when he came, he said, I want to go to the Beacon. I said, what do you mean? You've never been? No, I live in Florida. We're taking you to the Beacon, because we got something so special, you got to try it. Now, we didn't tell him about it. He was going to get yelled at when he ordered. But when we left, he loved the experience so much that every time he came back, we took him to the Beacon, and he bought tea to drive all the way back to Florida so he could store it up in his refrigerator. Now, what does that have to do with making disciples? We have something so special and so unique that people ought to just want to come back and get more to take home with them. I'm going to be real honest with you for a minute. Today's been a wonderful day. But do you know why I think the church is no longer concerned about making disciples? It's because we're no longer concerned about becoming disciples. We don't want to transform somebody else's life because we don't want the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. But Jesus said, go therefore. He didn't say come. He said go. And we're going to go. And so I've got the wording backwards. It's go therefore. And my question is, or the sermon title is therefore go. Because church, that's what we got to do. We got to go. There's people that need the love of Christ. We've got something they've never experienced. And they need so much of it they can store it in their refrigerator. As weird as that sounds on the internet. But we do so many more things than we've covered today. Our social media, our podcast, our children's ministry that God just keeps blessing. For those of you that don't know, 2.5 years ago, we had 2 kids in this church that came on a regular basis. 8 weeks ago, we had 1 high school student that came on a regular basis. But because people said they'll go, lives are being changed. People are getting to say thank you when they get to heaven now. So we're going to sing one of my favorite songs. Because the reality is Christ, the presence of Christ is here today, and it's asking you, will you go? And the name of the hymn is Here I Am, Lord. And I can't answer for you, but I can answer for me. Here I am. If you lead me, because I can't do it without you, I will follow. So let's stand and close our time of worship with hymn 593. I can't even see it. My eyes are so messed up. The altar is open for anybody who wishes to kneel and pray.